1946. And the title of the piece was Hanakuda HaTova, about finding one's good point, and more particularly, finding one's particular avoda in this world. Figuring out what's your tachlis, what's the point of you? Why do you exist? What makes you you, and what makes you special, what makes you different? And what is that nakuda, what is that point about which your whole life really revolves? And the center of your existence, and how do I find that, and how do I develop it, and how do I nurture it? And he was giving us different techniques to engage in that process. Okay, so he spoke about a more positive way of doing that, and now he continues on the bottom paragraph on page 49. Again, you don't have it in front of you, I apologize. The paragraph is called Tachas HaKlipa Nimtza HaPri. Beneath the peel, beneath the shell, is the fruit. So it says Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter. Oh, so those who are new, I'm sorry, I'm like jumping into things as if everyone's been here before. Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter is the author of the Sefer. There's a picture of him on our stand there. Eliyahu Fuchs will tell you about his encounter with him. If you went to Reishit, maybe you already learned Volume 1 of Lekut Amarim with Rav Eli, if you were in his Rav Eli's shir. And Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter is one of the Gedolei Breslov today. And the Sefer is shorter pieces, usually a page or two or three or four. And each piece really tries to develop something b'derech ha-chasidus, but really practical. I think we've seen that it's a Sefer that you can really work on, you can really live with. And he's our Rabbi, Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, Shlita. Maybe he'll come to YU one day. Did you invite him? That would be very special. No, we have some big gedolim coming this semester. We have some big things planned. Oh, yeah. Yirtzeh Hashem. Well, you'll see. Some big things. V'yesh od derech nechon lefnei ish l'das mahi hanakuda shayeches lo. There's another way for a person, another proper path for a person to discover what is his nakuda, what is his thing. V'zos b'derech hashlila. And this is through the negative, one can infer the positive. B'derech hashlila. From the negative, from focusing on one's negative traits, you can learn a lot about what you're supposed to be in a positive sense. D'hainu she'im margish ha'adam pega ha'nefesh be'eza midara yoser midai. If you feel that I have a particular soul, a wound of the soul, I have something broken with my neshama, a particular midah that's negative, midara yoser midai, that I've struggled with this for a long time. Maybe I have an anger problem. Maybe I'm very haughty. Maybe I have very strong taivas. When a person recognizes what it is that his soul is struggling with, kegaiva yaseira, again, says Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, he's exceedingly haughty. Okina b'mida meruba, ve'eino ra b'shal acherim, he's always jealous. He has a negative eye towards others. He's always spends his whole life thinking, oh, why does that guy get? Why don't I have? What does this person have? Why don't I have this? Okas, maybe he's an angry person by nature. Or taveras ha-taiva, or he has this burning desires for taiva, etc. O shehek nitu hora o mora o ishta o chaver o shachin. Or maybe sometimes hiknito, maybe sometimes he's mocked or ridiculed by a teacher or by his spouse or by his friend or by his neighbor, his roommate, whatever it is. Shemavir bo ratzon ra shal sina o nekama. And he always just, when someone rubs him the wrong way, he gets very angry. And he gets hateful, and he gets vengeful. He wants to take revenge against that person. You should realize that all of these negative traits that we're describing, whatever they may be, sha'aliba de'emes me'es Hashem ha'isa zos v'lav mikroho. You should realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu programmed you that way. And if you always felt like you were an angry person, that doesn't mean you can't overcome it. We're going to learn how to overcome it. But it's not by chance that you have a strong taiva. It's not by chance that you're a haughty person. It's not by chance. However that midah is expressing itself negatively, it's entirely possible for you to take that same energy and redirect it. And that's what we're going to learn about today. How does a person take a negative energy, a negative kalach, and try to redirect it towards something positive? Yeah. How does a person channel his feelings, his emotions, his emotional energy in the right direction? It's not by chance that you have that thing, and you're going to have to learn how to use that strength. Not to destroy you, God forbid, but to build you. Okay, he says in parentheses, look in the Sefer Yismach Lev from the Rebbe of Chernobyl, in the back of the Sefer Mori Naim, and look in the writings of the Gra, Ayin Shum, where they talk about this idea, but he'll flesh it out for us. It's well known, he says, Shetachas HaKlipa Zos Tomun Pri Nechmar V'yafa. It has to be known to us, it's well known to us, it's a proven fact of reality, that beneath the peel, beneath the shell, is a beautiful and sweet fruit. The peel, or the shell, the husk, that prevents a person from eating the fruit is obviously very hard, it's very bitter, you wouldn't eat it, there's not much you can do with it, you throw it out. But if you're willing to peel back that klipa, you'll be able to discover a beautiful fruit inside. And therefore, inside of that taiva, inside of that anger, inside of that gaiva, inside of that jealousy, is a tremendous fruit of holiness, potential for holiness, that again can emerge if nurtured in the right way. And again, you'll be able to use that to have new understandings, a new attainment and understanding of God, and a new discovery when it comes to how one approaches Torah. A person should recognize that this is my nekuda. I'm going to work at it. I'm going to correct it. I'm going to distance myself from the negative aspect of it, from the klipa of it, as one, using poetic lashon, as a person distances himself, as the bow distances itself from the arrow distances itself from the bow. Meaning I should get far away from the superficiality of that negative trait, which is destructive. Linkosu lezacha, to clean it, to refine it. And then to sweeten it, to transform it into something sweet and pure and holy, and to elevate it, until I'm able to illuminate it properly. Okay, now everyone is on the same page. So turn to the top of page 9, and we begin together. And again, I apologize for that. We begin together with a story about the Rebbe of Zusha. The Rebbe of Zusha. Okay, the Rebbe of Zusha, of course, was the brother of Rav Elimelech of Vyazhensk, the Noam Elimelech. And the Rebbe of Zusha was an interesting person when he was a young boy, as we're about to learn. Mesuper al Rebbe Reb Zusha, Zuchusi Yogen Alein. Shebiyameh Yalduso Haya Action Nora. The Rebbe of Zusha was unbelievably stubborn. Action. He was unbelievably stubborn. As a kid, he gave so many people trouble. Uve'es Shahaya Ravim Imo, when he would get into a fight with his mother, Shetaniach Lo Lasos Davar Ma, that he would say, you know, Mom, I wanna go do X, Y, or Z. Let me do what I want. O shetikne lo masha libo chafetz, or that she should buy him whatever he wanted, right? He threw a tantrum. He said, I want to do this. And the brother would say, no, we're not doing that now. He said, but I want to do this. Right? I want to buy this. We can't afford it, we can't buy it, but I want it. He always put up a fight. To such a degree, look at this, third line, Hayumis Akish at Kidekach, he was so stubborn to such a degree. He would fast. He would go on a hunger strike until his mother would buy him the toy in the supermarket that he wanted. The Rebbe of Zusha. Imagine. He would literally refuse to eat until he got his way. Until his desire was satisfied. One time, as a young boy, the Rebbe of Zusha was walking past a group of Hasidim who were schmoozing, who were talking amongst themselves. And they said, he overheard them say, they were talking about the following topic, Asher kol mida ra hatvua ba'adam, every bad character trait that is ingrained within man, mara lo esharsho b'kedusha. It's really just a way of revealing to him his shoresh, his root in holiness, el eshenechaz b'hara v'hatuma. But it's, again, it's in the dirt. It's like a diamond that fell in the dirt that just needs to be polished off. So when a person has, superficially, he has a negative character trait, realize that's a revelation of the point of his holiness, the place where his holiness is drawn from. It just happens to be that superficially right now, it's coded in tumah. It's coded in negativity. And dafka, through that midah, which again, if he doesn't learn how to use it properly, will destroy him. But if he learns to use it properly, he's able lahamlich esboro, to crown the creator of the world king, to make Hashem the melech, uliskari ve'lov, and to draw close to him, ba'ofen nifla, in a marvelous way. But he has to learn how to do that. Again, it's raw energy, it's potential. He has to learn how to actualize that potential. So as Reb Zusha is walking by, and he hears the Hasidim talking about that every bad midah is really just a good midah in disguise. Miyad b'shamo zos, when he heard this, heichel is bonim v'lasos cheshbon b'nafsho. Reb Zusha, as a young boy, said to himself, you know what, he started to make a cheshbon in nefesh. he started to think about all the fights he got into with his mother, and all the you know, malamdim in his cheder, who he started up with. And he said to himself, Harei bi tvua midas hakshanas. I have the character trait of being very stubborn. Avani akshan, and I'm stubborn, and I win. And I always win. I'm victorious with my stubbornness. I fight, I hold out till I win. Mali lishtami shimala hara li'imi. Why should I use this character trait to make my mother upset? Why should I use it to be mean to my mother, litzaris acherim, to cause trouble to others? Maybe I could use this stubbornness to be stubborn for Hashem. What does it mean to be stubborn for Hashem? Matov she'avo b'zeh el ha'melech, malcho shel olam baruch. Maybe I can bring this as almost a gift to Hashem. Lenatzeach es yitzri. And maybe instead of being victorious over every person I meet on the street and giving my parents trouble and giving you know my siblings and my rebbeim trouble, maybe I can use that same energy to be stubborn and not ever listening to the Yitzhara, of always winning against the Yitzhara. I like to win, so maybe I can win in a different way. Maybe I can defeat my Yitzhara, ledabik b'Hashem Yisbarach b'chad katira, and to attach myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, literally with one knot, but meaning to be deeply connected and attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the utmost oneness of no connection to anyone other than Hashem, completely attached to Hashem. And now, says Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter, this fits so beautifully. It goes hand in hand with what I heard from Chassidei Breslov in the name of Rabbi Nachman. Rabbeinu means Rabbi Nachman. That's who he's referring to. Sha'arebi Rebzu Shai Mahalichim Eslavas Halev Shal Ascholas Hiskarvuso. That the Rebbe Reb Zusha, when he would go, when he began his drawing close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this way, he went with unbelievable hislavas alev, with a fiery heart, as he began to draw close. Ki adua ha-piskam, the statement I was trying to say a moment ago, ein chozek ketchilas ha-chasidus. There's no strength, there's nothing as powerful as the beginning of chasidus, when a person tries to make a serious change, and says, I'm not going to just be an average Joe, I'm going to be a chasid, I'm going to be a person who holds himself to a higher standard. That the Rebbe Reb Zusha, you know what Rabbi Nachman said about him? That fire that he had, you know, when a person gets started, they're like really fired up, yeah? The first day of the new semester, when everyone's on time to shir, and everyone's excited to learn, yeah? The Rebbe Reb Zusha went like that, b'meshech chof alef shonam ritzufos, for 21 years straight. The original hislavas of the Rebbe Reb Zusha, when he decided to get serious, lasted for 21 years. Not 21 minutes, not 21 days, not 21 seconds. 21 years. The Rebbe Zush was on fire for the Rebbeinu Shalom. Mamish, like, you know, like that first day of Shana Aleph, like that finally clicks, you know? And you're like, I'm going to be the God of Lador. Like, this is it. I can see, I'm the next Rav Chaim Kanievsky. And I followed Shir for the first time and, like, you know, I didn't fall asleep. So now, like, you see, okay, it's a tremendous energy. Right? The Rebbe of Zusha, when he got started 21 years straight, Rabbi Nachman said, he was able to maintain that look in his eye of that freshness, that excitement, that energy. V'ayin b'chayim oran, look in Chayim oran, from Rabbi Nachman. Masha Amar Rabbeinu Olav, Rabbi Nachman said about Rebbe Zusha, the Rebbe of Zusha, she'b'inyan ze ha'yechidish gadol. Rabbi Nachman said about Rebbe Zusha that this inyan of being able to be so b'slavis for such a long time is a big chiddush. Most people can't do that. That was a Rezusha's unique chiddush. He was so stubborn, he beat everyone. But then he decided, you know, I'm going to be so stubborn for Hashem that I'm just going to keep winning against the Yitzhar. I'm going to be on fire for the Ribbono Shel Olam nonstop, never giving in. And this reveals to us that same stubbornness, which could have been a lifetime of, you know, being a brat to everyone he encountered and causing trouble for everyone else, he decided to turn it into holiness. Sheshum davar lo hesito kumlo nima, that nothing moved him, right? Nothing would move him a hair's breadth, a thread, an inch. He didn't move an inch from what he wanted to do. He set out to accomplish it, and he did it. Yeah, sheshum davar, that nothing in the world, right? Lo hesito didn't move him kumlo nima, like the fullness of a thread or of a hair. Right? I mean, he didn't move an inch. He clung to his values. And he lived it. Vishum mava lo pogabo, and no happening of life that passed over him caused trouble for him. Nothing stopped him. And he literally didn't move a drop. He was able to, 21 years straight, he clung to that original his orus and lived it. It's unbelievable. That he was able to maintain that hislavus for such a long period of time without, again, without losing a drop of it. Unbelievable. Look in the writings of Rav Mordechai Chaim of Slonim. I think that was his name. I think it's usually the Ramach from Slonim. He wasn't one of the Slonim Rebbe's. He was, but he was a big chassid by Slonim. So this, I think his name is Rav Mordechai Chaim. So this Rav Mordechai Chaim from Slonim said that the Rebbe of Zusha was so on fire for Hashem that his face was in a state of hislavus when he slept. Like if you were to peek under a Jew's talis, like during the Ila, what his face looks like then, that's how Rav Zusha looked when he took a nap in the afternoon. When he was sleeping, his face was glowing, was shining, was mamash on fire. He learned how to channel it in the right direction. I'll tell you a great maisa that I love to share. It's such an important maisa when it comes to the chinuch of children. I always share this with parents who are getting uptight and nervous that their kids are going to go off the derech when they're 3 years old. I tell them this story to calm them down. But it's an important story for all of us at whatever stage of life we're up to. The Divrei Chaim had a son who was known as the Gerlitzer, of Baruch Gerlitzer, or Baruch of Gerlitz, the son of the Divrei Chaim. He was a little boy, he was a little child, and it was Simchas Torah. Again, I don't know exactly how these things work, but I'll tell you this was the nusach I heard. So his father, the Divrei Chaim, was dancing with the Torah on Simchas Torah, dancing wildly with the Torah. And then Rav Chaim's sons are brought the Torah over, I guess I'll call it the women's section. Apparently Rav Baruch Gerlitzer's mother, the Divrei Chaim's wife, was holding Rav Baruch Gerlitzer as a little boy, 3 years old. And the Divrei Chaim brought the Sefer Torah like towards where she was standing with her son. So she says to her son, she says, Baruch, kiss the Torah, Tzimchas Torah. So he says, no. So she gets a little nervous, you know, like one of those nervous little laughs, you know. She's like, no, it's Tzimchas Torah, we love Torah. We love the Torah, we kiss the Torah, Tzimchas Torah. So he looks at his mother, he says, I don't love the Torah. She's like ready to faint. She's like, no, but kiss kiss the Torah. He's like, no, I don't love the Torah. And she's totally like, she's so nervous. And the Divrei Chaim said to her, he said, you're so nervous, you think he's emistic. He's a little kid. You know what he loves in Simchas Torah? The lollipops. Right? He loves the candy bags. He loves running around. What? He doesn't love Torah. He's a 3-year-old. What does he know about Torah? Why are you telling him he loves the Torah? He's being emistic. He doesn't love the Torah. Right now he's a little kid and he doesn't love the Torah. And you'll see, the Divrei Chaim said, this is what he said to his Rebbetzin. He said, You'll see he'll grow up to be a fiery, emesdik Rebbe. And that's what he was. That's what Rav Baruch Gerlitzer was. Mamish emes with Kutzker style, like sharp, you know? Super sharp. Emesdik. A real, you know, set it like it is. That's what he was as a 3-year-old kid. So he learned how to direct it towards holiness. As a 3-year-old kid, he was honest. He said, I don't love Torah. Because it was true, he didn't love Torah. What do you know about Torah as a little baby? As he got older, he learned to use that same drive and that same passion and redirect it in the right direction. And that's what the Rebbe of Zusha did. That's what many tzaddikim did. This notion that a tzaddik is born a tzaddik and never has to go through any ups and downs and struggles and doesn't have to fix anything. He's just, you know, like Moshe Rabbeinu, he's born mahul, he's born already fully circumcised and the house is glowing. And yeah, there are tzaddikim like that. But most tzaddikim take the same negative character traits that all of us have and they learn how to transform it. And learn how to redirect it. And they become tzaddikim in that way. Okay, bottom of page 9. Rasha beinoni v'tzadik mi'osa nekuda. The same nekuda that can create a rasha, that same starting point that could produce a rasha, could produce a beinoni, could produce a tzadik. Let's see. Let's learn a piece from Likutei Maran, where it's indented. V'zeu klal shekol nefesh mi'Yisrael kodem sheyesh la hisgalus b'torah va'avota. Azay menasin umitzarfin es hanefesh, begolus shall ayin lashon. Zewa klal, this is the klal, this is the rule, that any Jewish soul, before it comes to achieve and have revelations in Torah and Avodah, before you become anything, this is the klal. Rabbi Nachman says, this is the klal, it's true for everyone. So you'll tell me, what about this tzaddik? He didn't seem like he ever struggled. This is the klal. You should review the famous letter from Rav Huttner in the Pachad Yitzchak in the letters. I think it's number 128, where he talks about the Chavetz Chaim. He says, you think the Chavetz Chaim never spoke Lashon Hara? You think the Chavetz Chaim was born with no taiva for Lashon Hara like normal people have? The Chavetz Chaim worked on himself. And maybe, Rav Huttner could say this, because maybe the Chavetz Chaim even stumbled along the way. Maybe he spoke Lashon Hara along the way. Maybe he made some terrible mistakes along the way. We don't know all the ups and downs of the Chavetz Chaim until he became the Chavetz Chaim. But he wasn't born that way. Rav Huttner says, you meet the Gedolim at the end of the story. You meet the Gedolim when he's a Gadol. You don't realize that. He was a young person once. He also had taivas. He also had struggles. He also had nisyonos. So that's what Rabbi Nachman's saying here. He says, the klal gadol. The klal gadol is that before anyone has any achievement in Torah and Avodah, a person is tested, umitzarfin es ha-nefesh, and his soul is going through a period of refinement, begalus shel ayin lashon. Now what does he mean that? Through the exile of the 70 languages. We'll keep it very simple for now. It's a Torah in Lukutim Moran, Torah Lamed Vav. But just to keep it very, very simple, the basic idea is 70 languages represent the 70 nations of the world. Using the classic image of Chazal, the Jewish people are a little sheep, and the nations of the world are 70 wolves. 70 languages represent the 70 nations, which means that before you're going to become an Emes Dikayid, before a person becomes an Emes Dikayid, he has to Shalom Asani Goy. There's a great Torah. Tzadikim say, why do we say Shalom Asani Goy? Why don't we say Shasani Yisrael? Why do we say thank you Hashem for not making me a Goy? Why don't we say thank you Hashem for making me a Jew? It's more positive, no? Positive language matters. Why do we say thank you Hashem for not making me a Gentile? And the answer is because Hashem made you not a Gentile. You have to make yourself a Jew. Hashem didn't make you a Jew. Hashem made you not a Gentile. You have to make yourself... Well, so that's what Rabbi Nachman is saying here. The 70...
That's sweet of him, though.
The 70 languages, the 70 nations, means that everyone has to figure out, how am I not an American? I'm a Jew. I'm not an American. How am I not German? How am I not French? How am I not... Right? And each of these nations has their own thing. The B'nai Yisachar writes in one place, and Tzadikim talk about this, the danger of learning foreign languages. When you learn a foreign language, in Pnimius, you're attaching yourself... Language is the essence of a person, speech. When you learn a foreign language, you're attaching yourself to that nationality, to that culture, and it has a hashpa on a person. So it's not necessarily such a maila to speak so many foreign languages. Maybe like in an Olam Hazeh sense, it's very helpful. But when you learn French, so you're attaching yourself to whatever taivas French people are, you know, whatever their inyan is. So when a Jew wants to become a Jew, he has to first go through 70 languages, so to speak. Rabbi Nachman says in the next two words, in case you think I'm not interpreting it right, look at the next two words. Hayinu b'taivos sehen. You have to go through the taivos of the nations of the world to figure out how am I not that until I finally say, you know what, who you know I am? I am a Jew. Until I come to a clarity of who I am. Ki haklipa kodma lepri, u'misherot zalecho lepri tzarach lishbar mikodem haklipa. Because the peel precedes the fruit. And if you want to come to the fruit, you got to work your way through the peel. You got to be prepared to crack the shell, to remove the husk, to remove the peel, remove that blockage in order to come to the truth of what you are, to access the fruit within. One of my favorite kids' books, which I have in my office. If you stop by my office, I'll learn it inside with you. It's called The Runaway Bunny. Anyone know this book, The Runaway Bunny? I've definitely showed it to someone in my office. No? Never showed it to my office? It's right on my desk in my office, The Runaway Bunny. It's a kid's book. I remember I was reading it, I don't know, to maybe Zahava or Meira, one of my kids, probably 5-6 years ago. I was like, this is a great Torah. This is an unbelievable Torah. What happens in The Runaway Bunny? In The Runaway Bunny, there's a bunny who's, it's basically like a rebellious, you know, teenage bunny. He's rebelling against his mother. And he says, like, I don't want to be a bunny. Oh, you don't want to be a bunny? What do you want to be? So he said, I want to be a fish. So his mother says, if you'll be, and each page has like a picture of this, like if you become a fish, I'll become a fisherman and, you know, try to chase after you. He said, well, I'll become an eagle. I'll fly up to the, you know, to the top of the mountains. He said, oh, so then I'll be this and I'll come, you know. And wherever the bunny goes, the mother bunny goes. You know, Imo Anochi Betzar. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shechina comes with us wherever we go. You know, we schlep Hashem when we're in high school and we're going to stupid places and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming along for the ride. Hashem says, okay, you know, we'll figure this out. Yeah, so you go here, and you go there, and you go this, and you go that. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu comes along. And finally, at the end of the book, The bunny says, shucks. When he says his mother's following him, he says, shucks, I might as well just be a bunny. He finally realizes, like, you know what? I this is who I am. Why am I pretending to be all these different things? I'm a bunny. So I might as well just be a bunny. So the mother says, okay, good. So here's a carrot. And gives him a carrot. That's how the book ends. Oh, you're a Jew? Okay, so here's the Torah. Yeah? You used to think it was boring. Okay, here's a Gemara above a comma. Maybe you could learn to... have a sitter here? Do you have a Tehillim here? You don't have a Tehillim? So this Torah, the runaway bunny, his mom is straight out of Tehillim. It says in Tehillim... I think it's Kuflametes. Yeah. David HaMelech says, Ana Eilech Meiruchecha. Where can I hide from you, Hashem? Va'ana Mipanecha Evrach. Where from before you can I flee? Im Esek Shemayim Shamata. If I fly up to the heights of the heavens, you're there. If I try to run up, you're there. Va'atziya Sha'ol Hinecha. If I try to go to the depths, right, to the pits, you're also there. Yeah, if I fly here, if I fly there, David HaMelech says, I can't go anywhere. Wherever I go, that's where you are, Hashem. So I might as well be a good Jew. Might as well be a good Jew. Yeah. So I feel like that's the pshat. That's what Rabbi Nachman is saying here. Yeah, there's a period of birurim. There's a lot of klipa. There's a lot of pretending that we're a lot of different things. We try to define ourselves by very superficial things, right? Superficial things. Again, superficial things don't mean bad things. It's not bad. Yeah. Not a bad thing. Not love dafkets of veros. But we get caught up in all sorts of things. We think, like, this is what's going to make me who I am. It's not. Being a Jew is going to make me who I am. The other things might have a place in my life, but it's still klipa. And I'm working through it, and I'm working through it, and eventually, I'm hoping that I'll be able to come to the fruit. Okay, so let's read. The bottom line on page 9. Oso gar'in. That same seed. Oso nekuda tova tmuna kamor benefesh ha'adam. That point within a Jew, that point within a person. Turn the page. Yesh ba koach adir shebeemtzuusa yisale haadam lamalos ramos v'nisgavos. It has the potential. It has the energy. It has the by way of it shebeemtzuusa. Right through it by way of it, a person can elevate himself to the highest levels and the highest achievements. Aval imlo yinatzla letov chas v'shalom. But if a person doesn't use it and redirect it in the right way. If he doesn't redeem it from its captivity, so to speak, azai lo bilvad shelo ta'ir lo nekudaso atova, not only will he not illuminate that point within himself, od alo lios she'adaraba oso koach nifla hatamun bekirbo yishafich min akotza el akotza v'yafoch lo l'roitz chas v'shalom im lo yavod karoi. If he doesn't use it properly, it's very likely then not only will he not meet his potential in a positive sense, but that same thing that's inside of him will rot. Yes, right? Again, the fourth line. Yishapech min akotza el akotza. It will be transformed from one end to the other, meaning it'll go to the opposite extreme. V'yafoch lo l'roitz. It's a poetic phrase. V'yafoch lo l'roitz. It'll become an obstacle for him. Im lo yavod karoy. If he doesn't use it properly. The same thing which could make you so great, if you don't use it, it could become destructive. And as always, Bashkacha Pratis, what better time to read this line than Parshas Beshalach? Where in Parshas Beshalach do we have an unbelievably profound example of this idea? That if you don't use your energy in the right way, you're going to use it in the wrong way. I'll look back to the Tzav Vezira's notes. Hostess. Yoni's going to pull them up. Yeah, Rabbi Sacher Dov of Bel says a beautiful vart. You have to know this vart. I heard it first from my brother, who heard it b'shem Rav Machlis, and then eventually I found it from Rabbi Sacher Dov of Bel, the Bel's Rebbe. Rabbi Biederman brings it in his Haggadah Shel Pesach. So the Bel's Rebbe said the following. Chira Egel. Who was involved in Chira Egel? The men were involved in Chira Egel. Chazal recognized the fact that the women were not active in Chira Egel the same way that the men were. The men were stealing their wives' jewelry to make the Egel. And the women are given Rosh Chodesh as a woman's Yom Tov of sorts because of their lack of involvement in Chira Egel. That's what it says in Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. And it's brought in the, I think the Beis Yosef brings it on the Torah. that women are given Rosh Chodesh special because they weren't involved in Chereiko. How are they able to resist the taiva of Chereiko? How did the women not get caught up in Chereiko? The answer is in this week's Parsha. Because when the Jews crossed the Yamsuf, the Jews walked through the water, and Miriam grabs her tambourine, and all the women are singing and dancing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, Chever, when you sing and dance for Hashem, then you don't need to go to the clubs. It's the same taiva. It's the same geshmak. It could be just as geshmak going to the club, or it could be just as geshmak, you know, dancing on Simchas Torah. If you get the geshmak in a holy place, then you won't have it in a lowly place. So the women who were singing and dancing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yeah, when Miriam led the Jewish women in song and dance, so when the eagle came around, right, and they're making macholos, it's the same word, macholos. Machol means a circle dance. The same macholos that Miriam is making for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the men who didn't dance for Hashem end up redirecting that energy towards Chere Egel. That's what the Piyazat Sarabi talks about in Tzav Viziras and Ostes. That it's a human, there's certain things that are human needs. We like to feel. A human being likes to feel things. We don't like boring life. We like to feel life. It's possible to feel that over a Tosfos. Maybe it's easier to feel it sitting at the Super Bowl. But doesn't make it more meaningful. Doesn't make it more real. If you can get that geshmak over understanding a Tosfos, that's an emistic geshmak. Or you could turn to some cheap taivas of the world to get your fill. So it's a question, where do you turn to? Miriam decided to dance, says the Belzer Rebbe. Miriam danced for Hashem. So the women, they said, we danced already. We don't need to dance for Chereigel. We're not interested in Chereigel. I'll show you a Rishon who says this. Want to hear a Rishon who says this? The Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah 488. Tough Peches. The Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah 488 says, do you know why God gave us so many holidays? Why do we have so many Yom Tovim throughout the calendar year? The Sefer HaChinuch says something which is shocking, but also just very real. The Sefer HaChinuch says, you know why? Because human beings like to party. And if Hashem doesn't give us a kosher way to party, we're going to party in other ways. So the Sefer HaChinuch says, we like to party. So if we don't have a kosher way of partying, we're going to end up, it has to be, that's part of the human urge, to have a good time, to be festive. So if we don't have a kosher way to do it, then for sure we're going to do it in a bad way. So Hashem had to give us Yom Tovim in order for us to satisfy that craving. So the Sefer HaChinuch writes, in Mitzvah Tav Peches. Okay, what do you want to say? Okay.
Why is it so hard to fall asleep Saturday night?
What's the Shabbos, yeah.
Because there's a call Saturday night because of Eliyahu coming, and I don't know, whatever. It's so true. Saturday night is the night where everyone stays up late.
Right. And if you don't know how, if you don't know how to channel that energy, you end up, you know, out and about. Decide, is it mostly Shabbos or Saturday night, I guess, right? Guess that's the chilek. Okay, let's just finish up a little bit more. So again, so says Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, if you don't use it to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it becomes a terrible stumbling block. You're going to end up using it in a negative way. Kizeh miderech ha-baal davar. This is the way of the baal davar. Who's the baal davar? Yetzer hara. This is the way of the baal davar. Latzures ha-adam l'achshilo dafka ba'osam ha-nakudos ha-shayichim lo. To cause him to stumble. L'achshilo, michshol, stumbling block. That the Yetzer hara says, not only am I going to destroy you, I'm going to destroy you on the thing that could have been used to make you great. The Yetzer hara says, I'm dafka going to block you from achieving your mission in this world. And not only am I going to do that, I'm going to use the thing that could have been a source of tremendous strength, I'm going to use it against you. I'm going to cause you to stumble in that very thing. And in the same thing, in the same place that you could have elevated it towards Hashem, la'krivam l'mole chas v'shalom rachman al-tzlan. Instead of offering offerings to God, he says, you'll end up offering karbanos to Molech. Molech was when people would burn their children as human sacrifice. Right? Obviously a terrible form of avodah zarah. So that's the question. Am I going to use my kochos in the right way? Or is it going to become an avodah zarah in the most literal sense? Avodah zarah. Forget bowing down to an idol. Avodah zarah, in the simplest sense, is my avodah or my efforts, the way I spend my life, going to be zar? Is it going to be foreign to what God wants from me? Am I going to learn to use my strength in the right way? Kikumosha Adam Tzarach Lamol, second paragraph on page Nun Aleph, just like a person needs to work Bichdei Lagia Giloi Hamushlam Ula Arashal Nekudam Yuchedes Lo, just like a person needs to Lamol, to work, in order to attain, again, to perfect and to reveal his Nekuda, Kein Zakeku Lizihiris Yesera. He needs at the same time to play defense, to be very guarded, to be very careful. To not use that same thing for negativity. Because that's dafka the place where the Yetzer tries to get you. The thing that makes you unique in a good way, he wants you to use that in a bad way. To mamish go to the opposite extreme, the other end of the spectrum. Okay, let's do one final paragraph and then we'll stop. We'll stop for today. We'll do the bottom paragraph on page Nun Aleph. The title of this section, again, was Beinoni, Rasha Beinoni V'Tzadik. And of course, he chose that title because of the Gemara that he's about to quote. The Gemara tells us so clearly. You get a little hachana for Purim in this Gemara. If you can figure out why, that'd be great. The Gemara tells us very clearly that the same thing which could be used for really good can be used for really average, can be used for really bad. Where do we see such a thing? Moshe Issa b'Gemara Shabbos Kuf Nun Vav Amud Aleph. Okay, bottom paragraph from page Nun Aleph. The Gemara tells us Kuf Nun Vav Amud Aleph Hai Man Dibama Adin. What does that mean? Anyone know? Hai Man. This person, right, or a person, Dibama Adin, who's born under the astrological sign of Ma'adim. Ma'adim is Mars. So depending on how the heavens are arranged when you're born, it's going to affect your personality. That's what the Gemara says. Depending on how the stars are aligned when you're born, it's going to affect your personality. So Haiman, a person who's born, Bima'adim, a person who's born under the constellation or somehow under the planet of Mars, has a connection to Ma'adim. Again, Misha Nolad B'mazal Ma'adim, Hainu Shatamun B'kirbo Gvuros, Mars is red, right? Red is Midas Adin, red is Gvura, red is Esav, right? Red is also David HaMelech, was also born red, but David learned how to use it in the right way. Yeah, so red creates Gvura. What does Gvura mean? Strength, but what does that mean? Strength could be like Esav, where I go and I pillage and I rape and I murder, or strength could be inner strength. So what do? I'm born under a constellation. I'm born somehow, with the way the stars were aligned, I have a lot of gvura. I'm bloodthirsty. What are you going to do with it? Inherent in his nature is he likes to kill. He likes blood. Well, there's a lot of things you could do with blood. There's holy things you could do with blood. There's average things you could do with blood. There's bad things you could do with blood. Azaihu o listim hahorig nefashos, you could become a thief who murders people in the process of stealing their things. O shochet, you could become a ritual slaughterer, which is a little better than being a murderer. Or best of all, o mohel, you could become a mohel. You could be a rasha, you could kill people. You could be a beinoni, you could shecht animals. Why is shechting beinoni? Because it's not a mitzvah per se. It's a rishus. If you want to kill an animal, you're allowed to slaughter it in a kosher way and eat its meat. But there's not a mitzvah per se. There's no chiyuv, I should say, to do so. Mila is a real chiyuv. Become a doctor, become a surgeon. That same love of blood, you could save lives. Right? Physically and spiritually. You can become a mullah. You can give spiritual life to a person. Bavar b'zeh ha-grami Vilna. The Vilna Gaon explained in his commentary on Mishlei. And the Marsha says the same thing in the Gemara. The Vilna Gaon explained that you see that the same person has the potential for all three of these things. These are the three ends, the three extremes. He could be a Rasha, he could be a Beinoni, he could be a Tzaddik. If he allows that Mida to express itself negatively, he's going to be a murderer. If he uses it in a middle of the road kind of way, azayhu yashochet, shezeh inyan beinonis, shelishchot eino mitzvah chiyuvis. Right, it's not a mitzvah to shecht, No obligation to shecht. Elim hu shochir hu makayim mitzvah. But if you want to eat an animal, the proper way, the mitzvah is to shecht it. That makes it kosher. Vim yizkeh ha'odim lisgaber al atzmo lisnai karoi karotzon abor yisbarach. But if he really works on himself, if he really, really works on himself, and he says, I want to use this same energy for the most positive way possible, harayu mahapich es tchunaso, shim emidas ha'gvur min ha'kotza la'kotza l'tova. Then he takes that same midah, which could have been a murder, and he turns it into what? A moel. V'zayu hofech l'moel. I was sitting at the dining room table last night learning this piece with my wife. I was in the mood to learn with my wife. We never learned together. So I sat down, I said, let's learn a little Lekkah D'Marim together. So she says, does this mean that every moel is like an axe murder? Like some of the nicest people I know are like, you know, like these sweet little moel. You have to be like, you know, like what could you have been? This is a scary thought. So I said, no, I don't think, you know, I don't know if you have to learn it that way, but it's a good question. Hainu shemenatzos ha-teva ha-retzicha va-gvuros shalo lizgabru l'naseach es-yitzro. Yeah, that you can use, again, that same drive, that same energy, which could have been a murderer, and use it for a holy thing, to fight and to kill who? To kill the Yetzirah. When you cut away that arla, he says in the second to last line, shezeh b'chinas krisas ha-arla. When you remove the foreskin, when you cut away that part that makes a person imperfect, and chayev karis, if God forbid he doesn't have a bris milah, then he's elevating what? He's killing, he's destroying the Arla. He's, so to speak, destroying the not only the Arla of the Guf, but the Arla Salev and the Arla Sa'ozen, like Chazal say and the Pesukim say. He's elevating the whole person. Inyan Shmiras Habris. He's bringing this person into a state of holiness. Shemishtamishim Koach HaGvuros V'Hadamim L'Kedushim Mamish. That he uses that Gvura, and he uses that again, that desire for blood in a pure and holy way. You have to remember, at the end of the day, a Jew always has to remember, as much as I have a neshama, but I have a guf which is very different. And I have to decide who's gonna be in charge. When Hashem said, Na'aseh Adam, let us make man, who was he talking to? Maybe he was talking to man himself. Maybe he was talking to the angels, like Rashi says. Maybe he was talking to the whole world that preceded Adam Rishon. Maybe Hashem was turning to all the animals in the world, the wild animals, the 70 nations of the world. Hashem says, I'm putting a little bit of that into every single person. I'm putting a little bit of those kochos of craziness inside of you. But if you can learn to harness that energy and redirect it in the right way, then you'll be a gevaldik yid. You'll find that nekuda tov inside yourself and give a lot of nachas ruach to Avinu Shabbat Shemayim. So Mirat Hashem, we should all be zocha to recognize from our negativity and from some of our biggest nisyonos in life, we should be able to identify the strength within ourselves and use that to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mm-hmm. Good to be back.